Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to lift up praise and worship to God this Sunday morning. We would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration sheet, if you will, and pass that on to your neighbors. After the sermon this morning, we will be privileged to recognize and dedicate our deacons and elders in this service, just as we did in the first service. And there is a flyer in the bulletin I would like to encourage the deacons and elders to bring forward with them as you come forward for that dedication. In the bulletin flyer, please also note the announcements concerning the new Sunday school class that is being started, the game day, which will be this coming Friday, and the RevCon Youth Conference that will be on the 2nd of March. Also today, please join us immediately after the service in the Fellowship Hall, which is just directly below our sanctuary here, as the Koinonia class will be hosting a potato bar fellowship lunch to express thanks for the generous outreach giving of our congregation in this last year. Everything is provided. All you need to do is come and join us. In 2023, our congregation contributed in cash $27,062.81, or essentially about 10% of all of our contributions to various outreach causes, while also giving to countless tangible resources to people in need through various clothing and food drives, like the one that's being described later today by Bob as he comes forward. And during lunch, we also want to celebrate the fact that Rosa Donafelser will be sharing a number of her truly delectable desserts. If you've not had one of her desserts before, you got to come to this lunch to just have one of those. You just got to do that. They not only are art forms in and of themselves just to look at, but they are just great to eat. So please join us. And also, there is a free will offering being received for the Artsakh Armenian refugees who are being displaced from their home country of Nagorno-Karabakh. I think I've got that. Rosa and her family are actually from this nation. And that's why we focus on this every once in a while. And we are privileged to assist in the great need by making contributions available that go through the Armenian Church of Overland Park, Kansas, and are rendering direct aid to these people who are being killed, injured, and dislocated from their homeland by a Muslim country that surrounds them, and these people are being forced to resettle in Armenia. And again, we're mindful that our own Rosa Donafelser, her family is a part of that journey. So it's our privilege to share in that offering. I think that's all I need to lift up to you, so I want to call upon Bob Knopf, for our Minute for Mission. Bob?
It didn't go so good first service. Good morning. The Outreach Committee will be collecting paper goods for the Hope House starting today. We call it the Tower of Hope for Hope House. They provide a safe net for women and children suffering from abuse in the Kansas City area. When women flee their home in fear of for safety and for their children, it is usually with only the clothes on their back. Hope House always has a desperate need of paper towels, toilet paper, baby diapers, baby wipes, and female hygiene items. All are greatly appreciated. We would also like to thank everyone who contributed to the warmth tree to Clay County Clothes Closet. Your generosity will help so many stay warm this winter. Thank you for all your help for those that are less fortunate. Thank you. Booyah!
That's a hard act to follow. Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven, you that live in the heights above. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, shining stars. Let them all praise the name of the Lord. We'll now sing hymn number 67, stanzas 1, 3, and 6 of O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home.
May we pray. Merciful and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to offer you praise and worship this Lord's Day. We pray that the meditations of our hearts and our words of praise will be acceptable in your sight, in worship and in deed. In the name of Christ, we offer this prayer in thanksgiving. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors.
tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Okay.
There we go, right there. Whoopsie.
Okay. February. What do we think of when we think of February? We think of what? What, guys? Love. Yeah. It's love. It's all that hearts and flowers and candy and mushy cards and all that kind of stuff, huh? Yeah, yeah. That's okay. You know what? We're going to talk about love today, too. But we're going to talk about a different love. We're going to talk about the kind of love that Jesus talks about, that Jesus teaches us about. And you know what? That kind of love is hard. It's hard because you know what Jesus tells us? We have to love everybody. We have to love the people who are mean. We have to love the people who are not very kind. We have to love them no matter what they do. That's what Jesus says. Love even your enemies. Love those people who don't love you. Sometimes it's really hard to even love our brothers and sisters, isn't it? Yeah. Because they do things that just make us mad. Uh-huh. And it's hard. Well, if we have that much trouble loving our brothers and sisters all the time, or our cousins, or our friends, how hard is it to love people who are mean? It's really hard, isn't it? And do you know the only way you can do it? Do you know the only way you can love your enemies? Pray. You have to pray to God to give you a heart to love your enemies, to love everybody. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself. We don't like to love people who are mean to us, do we? Absolutely not. So we have to pray. Can we have prayer now to God? Can we have prayer? Can we have prayer hands, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for always, always loving us no matter what, for your mercy and your grace in our lives. Help us to show mercy and grace and love to everyone, especially those who are so hard for us to love. Help us in this way. And to be with us always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We want to continue our prayers this week for Bob Maddox. He is at the St. Luke's Rehabilitation Hospital in Smithville and making good progress now. And Betty, we're delighted you are here this morning. And we look forward to when Bob can join you once again here soon. Bless you both. We continue to keep Ted Ferris in our prayers as he continues his recovery at home, as well as Leslie Martinson, as she also is home in recovery. We want to keep in our prayers Alan Pipps, as he has the heart concern that is ongoing. And Brady, we're so grateful you're making good progress and healing up well. We also keep in prayer Edna Williams and Tom Bosworth. And Jerry, you and Betty are always in our prayers, bless you, as well as Randy Squires. And we also lift up Rihanna Ralston every Sunday. And we lift up Perla Mora and her family, John. John is in Texas and has some bleeding behind his left eye, right, Perla? So we want to lift him up in prayer. And Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris Bishop, continues to be in our prayers too. So with all of these folks upon our hearts, let us bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful God, we give thanks for the privilege to assemble for worship this Lord's Day morning, to offer you praise and glory, honoring you as the creator and sustainer of all things. For the occasion to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, we offer thanks, for we have the privilege to be renewed and strengthened by the light of Christ's presence. As 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 reminds us that if we walk in the light as Christ himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As the Lenten season will soon be with us, and as all of us will be engaged with your word and with one another through our Lenten studies, we pray that your Spirit may empower us to be earnest in our journey of faithfulness to you. For as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 reminds us to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. And as Philippians 3, verse 17 reminds us, may we press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. We offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God as we remember how our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. Take the sin and darkness from me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I'll see his blessed face above.
In his day, Jesus was a very distinctive rabbi in that he instructed his followers to pray not just to God who is Father, but God who is dead. We see this clearly in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when Jesus shares the example of prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." The Aramaic word Abba for Father that Jesus uses in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is a very specific reference to a paternal father who is wholly engaged with his children, a dad in our understanding today. Referring to God as Abba Father was quite radical in a Jewish culture in which even saying the formal word for God's name was against the rules. What Abba Father meant for Jesus' followers and still means for us today is that our Abba Father desires to be very up close, personal, and engaged in our lives, even as he is also the creator of the vast universe of which we are merely a small part. This amazing concept is even more vividly revealed to us every Sunday as we share in the elements of the Lord's table and recognize that Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be cleansed from sin and given the privilege to abide with God as dad in the present world and indeed for all eternity. We give thanks for this blessed relationship with our Abba Father as we sing our communion hymn. It's number 425. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Let Us Break Bread Together.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on me. us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun,
as we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ed leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your table, we remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. May this bread and wine to be us a means of grace, drawing us closer to you and to another, one another. In his name we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. chapter 14, verse 13 states, "Happy are those who from now on die in the service of the Lord. They will enjoy rest from their hard work because the results of their service go with them." This text tells us that happiness is ours when we believe that our efforts on earth are for the cause of God's work, recognizing, as the text says, that the results of our hard work go with us, even unto the knowledge and experience of God's eternal kingdom. Imagine that. What you do in good things here on earth, you're going to remember in the eternal kingdom and celebrate and be joyous about that. That's worth celebrating. As Barbara lifts up a word of prayer for us and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this church family and our church. Help us all to be your stewards and continue your work here on earth. As we collect our tithes, know they will be used to further your kingdom. Bless the gifts and the givers. Amen.
May we stand. Lord God, we pray these offerings are used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you this morning, this is Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Sometime later, as the number of disciples kept growing, there was a quarrel between the Greek-speaking Jews and the native Jews. The Greek-speaking Jews claimed that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of funds. So the 12 apostles called the whole group of believers together and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the preaching of God's word in order to handle finances. So then, brothers, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will put them in charge of this matter. We ourselves then will give our full time to prayer and the work of preaching." The whole group was pleased with the apostles' proposal, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, a Parmenius and Nicholas, a Gentile from Antioch who had earlier been converted to Judaism. The group presented them to the apostles, who prayed and placed their hands on them. And so the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem grew larger and larger, and a great number of priests accepted the faith. May we pray. Holy God, as the apostles of Christ chose leadership from among the growing churches in the first century of Christianity, may we also honor this century's old tradition by also choosing and dedicating from among ourselves leaders of distinctive spiritual character who can organize and uphold the ministries necessary for Christ's church to succeed in our day. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our fellowship of the Christian church began in the very early 1800s as European immigrants first settled into the farmlands of Pennsylvania and West Virginia. They quickly crossed the Allegheny Mountains into the Midwestern farm country in what became known as the states of Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, and Illinois. These growing numbers of small farming communities throughout the Midwest consisted of populations of European immigrants whose homeland cultures and faith origins were truly very diverse. These early settlers also found solace and common bonds of unity in the much more simplified teachings of pastors such as Barton W. Stone and Thomas Campbell and his son Alexander, who sought to unite themselves by focusing on basic teachings of the New Testament church, while leaving behind the trappings and traditions of European cultures and man-made religious rites. These pioneering settlers chose to simply call themselves Christians, and they upheld religious notions that there is no creed but Christ, that only the Bible was their spiritual instructional guide, and that all believers could simply be united in the simple teachings of Christ as instructed in the New Testament. Founded in 1840, only 19 years after Missouri officially became the 24th state of the Union, we must appreciate the fact that this church, Berry Christian Church, was among the earliest Christian churches founded west of the Mississippi River. It was a time in which the countryside was still so very much forested that rivers like the Mississippi, the Missouri, and the Kansas rivers were very much the avenues of transportation before there were reliable wagon trails and later railroads. In fact, many of you may not even know that the road in front of our church in its origin was a wagon trail. There used to be a little bridge over here just a little bit beyond the Quick Trip, a single lane bridge. Can you believe that? You can't even tell there was a need for a bridge now, can you? But anyway, that's how far back we go here. These same farming villages, such as our own village of Berry, Missouri, were also so small that they were originally served by what were called circuit riding pastors who visited a series of small towns through the course of a month or more. The absence of a weekly pastor meant that each small church relied heavily upon the spiritual guidance of church leaders chosen from among their own ranks for weekly preaching, service at the Lord's table, and for looking after the pastoral care of the flock. This spiritual emphasis upon simplified New Testament teachings and a pragmatic reliance upon lay leaders of small churches is what early on established the importance of the church leaders that we today call our elders and deacons. And this morning here at Berry Christian Church in 2024, 184 years since our founding, we are privileged to not only dedicate our present elders and deacons, but we are also honored to uphold the New Testament teachings first established by Christ's apostles and the Apostle Paul. The first line of elected lay leaders in the Christian church is what we call elders. Elders, meaning older, or bishops, meaning overseer, were names used interchangeably for those who were the principal officers entrusted with the pastoral and moral supervision of the early church. The concept of lay leadership was an ancient biblical tradition, even as Moses, on the advice of Jethro, chose leaders from among the Hebrew nation. This lay leadership is carried forward into the Promised Land, even as Deuteronomy chapter 25 tells us that the elders met the people at the city gates and dispensed justice among the people. This Old Testament concept of lay leader eldership was carried from Jewish tradition into the early church. As the apostles in Acts chapter 14, verse 23 tells us that they appointed elders in every church they started. And Paul also writes to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, reminding Titus to appoint church elders in every town. In this morning's reading of Acts chapter 6, Christ's apostles see themselves as the spiritual guides of the early church. As in verse 4, they say they must give their full time to prayer and the work of preaching. The New Testament book of James chapter 5, verse 14, here we see the elders of the early church also possessing a healing ministry through the disciplines of prayer and the anointing of the sick with oil in the name of the Lord. The spiritual custodial responsibility of the eldership is the reason why we call upon our elders to offer the prayers at the Lord's table every Sunday. That is why they can offer the Lord's Prayer to the sick and to homebound. And when clergy are unavailable, elders can be called upon to offer Sunday messages. Elders in many of our churches are often the ones who also teach Sunday school classes. The second line of elected lay leadership is what we call deacons. The word in the Greek language for deacon is diakonos and can be translated into the English language as servant or attendant. As the early Christian church developed, the need for an organized structure was apparent. Deacons became a second level of this organization, following the elders. In the New Testament, the Greek word for deacon occurs approximately 30 times, and in most cases, it's not a name for a position, but simply an emphasis upon servanthood. Even Paul refers to himself and Epaphras in Colossians three different occasions as deacons or servants of the church. In our scripture reading this morning from Acts chapter 6, the apostles chose deacons from among the believers in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem church, to care for the needs of the widows, the orphans, and the destitute. The noun for deacon is not used in this text, but rather it is the verb that relates to serving tables. This tradition of table service, if you will, was an ancient Jewish tradition adopted by the early church. Every Friday, two collections were taken from among the membership of the synagogue. The first collection provided finances for two meals a day for the following week for orphans and widows. The second collection was for those who were temporarily out of work. Of the seven people chosen for this responsibility, the apostles said they were to be of good repute, full of the Spirit, and of wisdom. Stephen was among the seven chosen. His preaching and ultimate martyrdom are described in the remaining segment of Acts 6 through the close of the seventh chapter. It is noteworthy that this servant of Christ, who became such a significant evangelist for the gospel, was also not an elder, he was a deacon. Philip the evangelist is also named. Philip led Simon the sorcerer to become a believer in Christ, and he also played a significant role in bringing about the conversion of an Ethiopian. All of that is recorded in Acts chapter 8. Organizing and offering assistance to the congregation in practical matters such as providing for those in need and other such tasks, called in this Jewish tradition table service, is the reason why we call upon our deacons to distribute the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper to the congregation every Sunday morning. This and many other matters of service that lend themselves to ordering of the practical concerns are meant to support the overall welfare of the Church of Jesus Christ, much in the same way as we see here in this text of Acts 6. Now, some faith groups limit the service of church positions, such as elders and deacons, to only men, emphasizing a text from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, where Paul writes, "This is a true saying. If a man is eager to be a church leader, he desires an excellent work, a church leader who must be without fault," etc., etc. As we look at the ongoing ministry of the Apostle Paul, however, we see that Paul does not limit his charges of leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ to only men. In Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15, Paul wishes to establish a church in Philippi among Jewish believers. The group he visits is so small that they do not even have a synagogue. You needed 12 families to have a synagogue. But instead, there is a prayer gathering at the riverside. The text tells us that Paul and his people sat down to talk with the women who are gathered there in prayer. We ask the question, okay, where were the men? Men? On the golf course? You know, where were the men? You know, I reflect back even on my own ministry of 13-odd churches for nearly five decades, and two of the churches I've served reached points where, if it weren't for the women, the church would have closed. And so we're grateful. And among those present here in this setting in Acts 16, Paul chooses Lydia. She is a dealer in purple dye. She is a wealthy merchant and owner of her own business in her own right. And Paul chooses her to lead the very first church that was established on European soil. In Romans 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul mentions the unique qualities of a deaconess or servant named Phoebe. When he writes to the Christians in Rome, Paul asks the believers in Rome to graciously receive Phoebe and help her in whatever she may require. Paul writes that Phoebe is one who has been a helper of many and of myself as well. Then, in the following verses of Romans 16, verses 3 and 4, Paul also sends greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in the service of Christ Jesus. Paul says he is grateful to them, not only himself being grateful, but all the Gentile churches are grateful as well. On three separate occasions in his letter, Paul mentions Priscilla, the wife, before the husband's name. This is an unprecedented notation during a time when women were considered property, and thus shows that Paul considers women like Priscilla to be on equal footing with the men who are also servants of the Lord's ministries. From these New Testament texts, it is clear that deacons in the early church were both men and women who took on the role of servant leadership. They were responsible for important practical matters in the church that were related to the needs of the church family. From what we've experienced from our early American heritage and also from our understanding of the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ, we can thus see that the selection of both elders and deacons is a prayerful and spiritual matter in which both men and women who are of good character and spiritual integrity may be elected to serve in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And thus, it is also our joy this morning to recognize and to dedicate the elders and deacons who have been elected to serve Barry in this new year of 2024. And so, as we close up the service this morning, I want to welcome our currently serving deacons, elders, and our junior deacons as well to come forward. And if you do not have the bulletin insert with you, I've got some extra copies here that I've printed off. I want you to come forward as we have this dedication of our elders and deacons this morning. Please come forward. Now, one thing I also want to lift up is that if anybody needs some copies, I've got them right here. But this morning, we even had a number of our our elders and deacons who came to the early service because they're downstairs helping with the meal. And so about half of our folks in the early service came forward. It was amazing to see that literally half of the congregation from the pews came forward because they were our elders and deacons, not just for 8:30 services, but also for 11 o'clock services. But ladies and gentlemen, we have before us this litany here. And so I ask you to share along with me as we dedicate our deacons and elders. While the whole people of God share in servant ministry, the church from its earliest inception has elected in prayer before God persons to be custodians of the spiritual and practical matters of each congregation. In the spirit of this centuries-old tradition, it is our joy and pleasure this morning to celebrate and confirm those who have been elected to serve for this new term of service. According to Scripture, deacons are elected to be those who uphold the practical and pragmatic concerns of the church. Do each of you, elected as deacons of Berry Christian Church, pledge to uphold these responsibilities charged to you? And according to Scripture, elders are elected to be teachers, shepherds of the flock, and custodians of spiritual guidance. Do each of you, as elders of Berry Christian Church, pledge to uphold the responsibilities charged unto you? And then I actually would like for all of you in the congregation to share with me in this closing prayer, as well as our deacons and elders standing before you. May we pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for raising up these deacons and elders from among us to serve for your glory. As Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 13, may we all come together into the oneness of our faith and in our knowledge of the Son of God, so that we shall become mature people, reaching the very height of Christ's full stature. In Christ's name we pray, amen. May we give our deacons and elders a hand. Let's give them a word of hand of thanksgiving. Thank you all. Thank you all so much. I thank you all for being here. And we are so grateful that all of you are in attendance and worship this morning. And maybe today is that day that you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed, or the day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 589. We're going to sing the first and third stanzas, "Lord, I Want to Be a Christian," for our invitational hymn number 589, please.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart, in my heart. In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. In my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. In my heart, in my heart. To be in my heart.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We do want to welcome you to please join us for the fellowship meal that is in the fellowship hall just directly below the sanctuary. And the staircase is just there to the right-hand side of the foyer. And there's also an elevator there if that would be helpful for you. Again, everything is prepared, and we're so grateful that Rosa Donofelser has provided the desserts for us, and in honor of her presence among us, we are accepting contributions that will go to the Artska Armenian refugees as they are in the process of trying to create a new home for themselves in Armenia. And again, recognizing that Rosa's family is all tied up in all of those concerns. We're grateful for her presence here in Kansas City. I think that's all we need to lift up, and may we offer a word of prayer as we depart. Lord God, your Spirit empowers us to experience the fullness of your presence through your Holy Spirit. We're indeed grateful. As we journey into the new week, may it be with a spirit of joy and thankfulness, and for the privilege to serve your kingdom, whether it be as deacons, elders, or just regular folks, Lord, we just give thanks for the privilege to be of service. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me to bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give with thee, O Master.